The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, it's spooky season. Scary skeletons all around. It's Halloween on Apathetic Enthusiasm.
It's Halloween time.
Ooh, grim grinning ghosts come out to socialize.
Socialize. It's Halloween season again on Apathetic Enthusiasm. And guess what? Scary ghouls and goblins are coming your way on this
episode. The boogans are here to ruin your surprise. Oh,
we got a very, very scary show for you today. But before we get into that, Travis, I think it's best we get some ghosts cleaning.
Social media links?
Ghost cleaning. Haunted house cleaning.
Haunted house cleaning happening. Thank you, Brandon. If you want to follow us like a creature in the night, then you can go to twitter.com and search Apathusiast. Yeah, we're at Apathusiast. I'm at Jugglemino. He's at Barnyard Cruise. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow. Email us at apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. Apathetic_enthusiasm over on Instagram and our website, apatheticenthusiasm.com. We are
streaming live
on twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm, or you can catch video versions of this podcast and everything else that we produce at youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Thanks to everybody that subscribes over there. You can like, follow, do all those cool things. T-shirts, you can go to our TeePublic, apatheticenthusiasm.com/shop. This is the best way to get a curated collection of t-shirts. Maybe there's a spooky one out there. I don't know.
Ooh,
Brandon hasn't
spooky.
Updated the list lately. I don't know.
On TeePublic? Also, you're right. No, it's not scary. I should have done for damn it.
We think of Valentine's Day. You could have done spooky Valentine's Day t-shirts.
We think of all I do it all the time. We think of the good ideas after it's like, oh, yeah, that would have been a good idea.
I mean, technically, you have like a good 2 hours before this actually hits people's podcatchers if you want to update it. So you go to the TeePublic page and see if Brandon updated the list of t-shirts. Only you can find out. Also, you can go to patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Thanks to all the patrons for supporting us. We love you most of all. Brandon, how goes it? Welcome back to a fun, loose, improvisational Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Hey, thank you for having me, Travis. This is for I'm always honored when you bring me onto the show to talk a little bit about things that are going on in my life. And I really love Apathetic Enthusiasm. I think you do a great job hosting it.
Thanks. Appreciate
and
it.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to all the magnificent guests you have lined up for next season.
I can't wait for this to be the longest employment period on my resume.
Yeah.
So that's look forward to that. Should be a lot of fun.
Retire from
tons of great guests coming down. It's just as soon as we talk to them or ask them to be on the show, I'm sure it's gonna be great. Can't be better.
What is the most difficult thing you have when interviewing somebody on this show?
Their existence.
Okay.
We've had interviews on this show.
Yeah, of course. What is the biggest hurdle you have when you are interviewing them? What is the biggest hurdle? Sorry. What is the biggest hurdle you have? Maybe I'm saying it loud enough.
Three feet? I don't know. I don't know. Asking questions, I guess.
Oh yeah, that's good. That's good.
I like for our interviews to have a conversational tone.
Uh huh.
And there are times when we prepare questions in advance, but do not always effectively work those into a conversation. So it can sometimes feel a little forced.
Okay. All right.
But I think we've definitely gotten better at that.
I think that's what that's what editing is for, right? That's what.
Oh, you edit the show?
Yeah, I listen. I'm not a big podcast listener, as you know, Travis. I'm not a big podcast listener, but periodically I do. I've been listening to a couple.
Okay.
The first one I've been listening to is The Entire City, which is a podcast with Dr. Steve Gronert Ellerhof, a friend of mine through another friend of mine, Tiffany Hersey. He's been on the Twilight Zone podcast a couple of times, and it's a cool little podcast. Him and this guy that he knows, they talk about short stories. Each of them reads a short story, and then they talk about it. So, like the first episode, they talked about Edgar Allan Poe short stories, and you know, just described and talked about the plot. Go down like the little rabbit hole of analyzing and stuff like that. And it's kind of fun. They've done other stories where I'm just like, I should read more because I'm interested in hearing these stories and hearing these two men who they've been a part of academia in some way, shape or form, writing about short stories and analyzing mm-hmm. them. So it's interesting. So that's the first one.
You said it was called The Entire City?
Yeah, I believe it's The Entire City. Yeah.
And is that like a weekly podcast?
It's every other week.
Every other week. Okay. Yep. I'm writing these down because I'm like, by Thursday, usually my commute is like, well, I guess I'll listen to this audiobook or
yeah.
find a playlist on Spotify that I'm feeling.
Yeah, sure. Matt wants me to say Rounding the Bases. I don't listen to that.
I listen to that one too.
Rounding the Bases on apatheticenthusiasm.com sometimes.
Yeah, or streaming live at Twitch. Oh wait, no,
we're not pulling them on either. It's too much work.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta get up in this network.
Yeah, even less consistent than we are with recording.
Oh really? I thought is it dwindling? Have they hit the 25 episode hurdle? What is the largest hurdle you have with Rounding the Bases?
We're on 26 now, 27 I think.
Oh shoot, I got real close.
Yeah.
As close as I could without going over Price is Right rules.
No, they only missed 1 week so far, but it is there's not a set time. Like we record every week at like 6 or 7. Ish Pacific time. We started with them like on Tuesday, then Wednesday, then Saturday, then Sunday morning, then Sunday evening, then Sunday morning. I can't do it on Mondays, obviously. So we've been doing it like on Tuesday evenings, which Chelsea loves because it takes me away from dinner and the family to work nights in a row.
Oh, happy to help.
But yeah, Rounding the Bases, whatever. It's fun. It's fun hanging out with those guys. But that's not the other one I'm listening to. The other one I'm listening to, especially for Halloween, it's a Heather Ann Campbell, who is a writer on Rick and Morty, but she's also on Whose Line Is It Anyways? The current Whose Line Is It Anyway? She does this podcast for the Earwolf Network called How Did That Get Played? Instead of how did it get made, I saw her post on Twitter that they were going to talk about The Seventh Guest, which is a CD-ROM game from the mid 90s, I think 93, and I played that maybe about 15 years ago for the first time, because John Caulfield recommended it. So I played it. I got through it. And so, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to listen to it. So that's kind of a fun podcast. They also, for this month, it's how did that get slayed?
Yeah, so, I think I've heard her guest on Comedy Bang Bang. Because that's at Your Wolf Network.
That makes sense.
So, yeah.
And then they covered Silent Hill 2 more recently. I've only listened to two of the episodes, but I'm interested enough to keep going on it. It was fun. Nice. Fun things.
Fun.
What podcast do you listen to? I know. Everyone listening to us is like, yeah, let's hear some podcasts.
Let's hear about other podcasts. All right. Well, my day starts off very early. The first podcast in the playlist is always Up First by NPR, where I get three news stories every day on my way to work. So I can sound like I know what's going on with the world. It's about 10 to 15 minutes long, and it's just enough for me to know about the three top-ish stories happening.
That's a very, very quick podcast. No wonder you're done by Wednesday.
Well, yeah, but it's daily. So I listen to that like every day.
You save them all up till Wednesday.
Yeah. I just listen to the news about Monday on Thursday afternoon. it's super handy. But I do listen to that. Sometimes I will listen to The Daily with Michael Barbaro. This is The Daily, which is another, that's a more long format news podcast, but it has to be the right topic. So today I listened about China's looming economic crisis, which was interesting because of potential housing issues, the housing boom that may, anyway. Go check out The Daily if you want to hear that. So those are the news, the podcast I use to keep up on current events. And then immediately after feeling smart and educated by listening to news podcasts, I tend to either turn on Comedy Bang Bang on Monday, which is Scott Aukerman, probably on Mount Podmore, arguably. And he has guests on, but they do improvisational, so they usually have like one real guest, right? So, an actor, a writer, like a director, whoever. And then after that, they'll have comedians on who do improv as some sort of character, and they always play it in character and things like that. And it's just good laugh, just good, fun laugh. I listened to a podcast, by Hank Green and John Green, called Dear Hank and John. If you
those guys
know the Green brothers, they
wrote a book about fame and social media stuff.
They wrote tons of books.
Yeah,
John Green is a writer.
But the one we covered on the podcast.
Did we actually cover that?
Yeah, we did. We did cover it.
Absolutely remarkable thing. I'll send it to you so you can read it.
Yeah, because it talks about the ladders of fame.
Yeah, that's it. Anyway, they do a dubious advice podcast where fans write in and then they give dubious advice and then answer and then give updates on Mars and AFC Wimbledon every week. So,
all right.
So, but they're fun listening to. And then later on in the week, what else do I get into? I usually listen to parts of whatever episode we review for quality control.
I'm glad you do. I'm glad you do 4 days after it aired.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that quality is good.
There's always that Tuesday morning when I'll see our new episode in the podcast feed and I'll be like, grab my phone. Hey, Brandon. didn't update the title this week, I see.
I have to update the title in five different places.
Dang it, I did that already.
I have to update it in five different places. And sometimes it's in a place that doesn't matter that I miss. Other times it's in the Apple Podcast title screen.
Yeah, fair enough.
So it's just there's a lot. It's not streamlined in any way, shape, or form. But whatever, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of dabble around. Sometimes I'll just like see what's trending or what's happening. I've been trying to get into more audiobooks lately. Oh, mm-hmm. Because I have a lot more time behind the wheel. I've been tempering the time. I'll get those early podcasts early in the week, and then I'm like, all right, I'll listen to this book or whatever. We talked about it today. I might be getting the Dune audiobook. Ooh. So that I can. So wait, let's talk about Dune real quick.
Yeah, let's do it.
No Dune spoilers for anybody that cares about that sort of thing. You told me today that you watched the 1984 Dune last night.
That's correct.
Was this the first time you'd seen that movie?
It is the first time I've seen it. Yeah, I started watching it Friday night, and I fell asleep. And then I started watching a little bit after D&D on Saturday night, and then I fell asleep again. And then last night, I rewound it to the part that I do remember, and then I started it again, which it was like basically 40 minutes in, and the movie's like 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Okay.
So I finished it up. Yeah, it was the first time I'd ever seen it before.
You never read the book before?
No.
Okay.
I knew my Uncle Daniel, him and one of his friends, they watched the movie. They liked the movie. So my exposure was to like knowing vaguely that they liked the movie. There's also a Sega Genesis game of Dune, and it was like a turn-based strategy.
There's just always like cultural references that I've picked up about Dune from like nerd circles.
The spice.
Controls the spice, controls the galaxy or whatever. I don't know. Controls the world, controls the...
Save the spice, save the world, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Save the cheerleader, save the spice, save the Spice Girls. So we were talking today how neither of us had seen any Dune. Obviously, brand new, just released this weekend, Dune film, available in theaters and on HBO Max. So... we talked about it. You watched the 1984 version first.
Yes.
I had thought about doing that, but I didn't. So I'm going to watch the new one first.
Okay.
And then we're going to flip-flop. You're going to watch the new one second. Then I'll go back and watch the first one. And in 2 weeks, we'll try to remember any of it for a new podcast. And maybe squeeze the books in, depending on timing.
Yeah, yeah.
Not books. We'll read a book. We're not reading all the Dune books.
I think there's three books, maybe.
Something like that.
Just the first book. I am going on a trip on Sunday down to Cape Canaveral. And so on the flight, I might try to pick up Dune so I can start reading it.
There you go.
I don't know how much that's gonna taint either movie, but fuck it. That's not the experiment we're doing here. We're talking about movies specifically.
Movie dunes. Dune movies. I mean, you could just watch the new movie and then start reading the book. Well, I don't know. You may not.
Oh yeah, I guess I could do that. Yeah, no, I've got time before Sunday.
Yeah.
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 There's time now.
Yeah, I'm not going to read the book before I get on a plane. that's what planes are for.
That's insanity. All right, cool. Well, tune in 2 weeks for our full Dune spectacular. But you know, it is the week of All Hallows Eve. It is spooky season. Brandon, you're the master of fright in terms of our collective podcasting.
Master of Fright. Welcome to your frightmare. Wait, you can't make nightmare even scarier, can you, by changing it to frightmare? Using that as a pun?
I think that is slightly scarier.
Oh, okay.
I'd argue you've done it, sir.
Oh shit. Is a frightmare when you're scared and then You get you're more scared.
I think a frightmare is when you pay extra Universal Studios to go at nighttime. But
I want the nightmare pass, but it doesn't come with the free turkey leg. So I want to get the frightmare.
You get the frightmare turkey leg dipped in novelty blood.
Dipped in
like barbecue sauce. It's just watered down barbecue sauce.
with maybe a little extra cayenne.
Ooh, that spicy blood. Available this October at Universal Studios.
Get your sweet baby rays. Frightmare sauce.
Frightmare bread, sweet baby Ray.
Oh no, my power. Did you see my power?
I did. I saw you flicker.
Oh my gosh. Oh my God.
Goodness.
Hey, good news. I'm tethered on my phone. Look at that.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
Dude, this is insanity.
You know what's crazy? What's crazy? I'm tethered to my phone. So for folks listening on the audio version, the power of my house keeps going, like, just keeps blacking out.
It's like everything's flashing, yeah.
Yeah. But what's really cool is I'm tethered to a hotspot, so the internet hasn't gone out. I'm still talking. I'm on my laptop, which means that anytime the power goes off, it just goes to battery power.
Yeah, you don't lose power on it.
What the hell?
This is the mobile podcast setup's dream. You could podcast from anywhere, Brandon.
Basically.
Anywhere with decent 5G coverage.
The only thing that's going to fuck up is when the power goes out completely and my main monitor goes out.
Turns off.
And I'm tied to just my laptop screen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
It's all this Frightmare talk. It was Halloween's like, yeah. Just get on with the show, man. Get on with it.
Get on with it.
So Halloween is this Sunday. That's my scare is that I have to go on a trip instead of going trick or treating with my kid on Sunday. Boo. So I'm not super happy about that. I didn't care about trips for the most part. And then all of a sudden, because Halloween, I like Halloween, then I'm like, oh, I don't want to travel anymore.
Yeah.
But Travis, going into Halloween season, I wanted to do a little something special for this episode. I'm going to ask this question of my cohorts over at Rounding the Bases on the next episode that we record. But I wanted to pass it over to you first.
Close your ears, Matt, if you're watching.
No, this isn't going to be a trivia for them. Mm. I asked you to just kind of think about this going into the recording. But I want to know, what is the spookiest, scariest real life story you have? And I'm not talking about like gore or like anything like that, but like, is there anything spooky that has ever happened to you that you can think of that you can talk about? I don't know if there is, but even if there isn't, make it up.
You know, it's funny, Brandon, because you did mention this in Messenger for me to think about. I didn't.
You didn't think about
something spooky that's happened to me. I mean, or
someone you know,
or someone I know. I tend not to overly like think like, oh, there's a ghost here. In general. And I think I did. I had a very, very active imagination as a young boy. Mm-hmm. And I mean, still now I'm
young boy.
So there'd be times where, you know, something would happen, the power would flicker, you know, oh, what's that sound? And I would freak out or think like something's going on. But I was also, terribly scared of like all sorts of things. I was a very nervous child. not really nervous, but I never really liked scary movies much growing up, or which, you know, I still don't tend to gravitate towards,
you know, horror films.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I didn't expose myself to a lot of that stuff. So I guess most of the spooky things in my life were times when I would be like, is there something here? Like there's been some Ouija board, you know, times, like you do sleepovers and stuff as a kid and people like, but I don't know, like I can't think of anything. I have like extended family, especially like my wife's family, who very, very much believe in like ghosts and ghost hunters. Like that's like their shows that they watch. They're like, oh yeah, the other night, like I was just laying in the bed and I looked across the room. There was the figure walking across the room, and I looked at it and it looked at me, and then we
shared a little smile,
and I was like, were you high? Like, did you eat too much food before you went to bed? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. So I'm falling short on, and obviously stalling for time.
No, I'm interested in that. You said you were a scared kid. You're scared of a lot of stuff. Was there anything supernatural that you were scared of as a kid? Like, or was it just like, I hope I don't.
So early childhood fears. Wicked Witch of the West. From which it's funny because Wicked Witch of the West from Wizard of Oz and the tunnel scene from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Both
of those, as a very young child, those were hide behind the couch moments for a young Travis. I will now claim both of those films as two of my personal favorites, but as a young viewer, those moments they scared the crap out of me.
The Wicked Witch, she's scary, and the makeup was not very, you know, calming either.
And then I
could see that even like in the melting part where she's melting. Like, just conceptually, a person melting from getting water on them is kind of frightening, right?
Yeah. Like, and I had to be like super young.
Take a bath, Brandon. Not after seeing that.
Oh, what a world! Oh, what a world! So yeah. So, but I kind of outgrew those things pretty quickly. But I remember like X-Files creeped me out as a kid. I never really was like scared of like alien type stuff. Really, I think like paranormal type stuff was always probably the spookiest to me. I could always like handle slasher movies or those types of things way easier than any of like ideas of like gooblins and goblins and ghosts and I don't know. That kind of stuff.
Goblins.
every time
you say goblin, okay. The tunnel scene. I know a lot of Willy Wonka. I know a lot of people are frightened. They claim that was a scary part of the movie for them. It wasn't for me. I think the scariest part of Willy Wonka is the first quarter of it where it's like, get on with it, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, grandpa.
You need that foundation, Brandon. You need that foundation to really appreciate the journey through.
Cheer up, Charlie, don't be so sad. Shut up.
I'm gonna stir this laundry with a fork.
And then she takes like a sock out.
Me and Grandpa Joe make the laundry go away.
Poverty. That's what frightened me. Did you know that originally they were gonna have Sammy Davis Jr. do the Candyman can?
Sammy Davis Jr. Really?
Yeah, because he did the song Candyman. But they didn't because he didn't want to take away from the rest of the movie.
What a guy.
I don't know if that's true, but I feel like I read that or at least dreamt about it recently.
Do you think the cabbage water that Charlie was sick of when he was doing his big reveal that he had bread in his bag was actually the leftover water from the laundry vat that she brought home from work?
There's like no actual vegetables.
It's just dirty laundry water.
Just spoon some water into a jug.
Drink some of this, Grandpa Joe, laying in the bed for the last 20 years.
That's why they're bedridden. She was poisoning him.
She was poisoning them with detergent. what a twist. What a twist in classic tale.
Classic Halloween twist.
What about you? Like, what scared you as a kid?
What did scare me as a kid? A lot scared me as a kid, but I was introduced to a lot of scary stuff because
capitalism,
poverty, capitalism, the bourgeoisie, the proletariat, the red scare, Cold War, all these things I was exposed to at an early age. The KGB coming in and taking my family away. You know, I remember a long time ago, my grandmother, she said, watch out for the thought police, Brandon. They'll come to get you. Think good thoughts, think happy thoughts, think good thoughts, happy thoughts about the state and about our king. And I never forgot that. I never forgot that lesson.
Yeah, it's stuck from with her. You to this day.
There you go. Yeah, I was exposed to a lot of horror and scary stuff at a young age because my brother's 5 years older than me. My uncle was 6 years older than me. We'd go to my great-grandfather's house, and my great-grandfather had like six or seven kids. Each of them had their own kids and then their kids. And so we'd all end up hanging out together. And they were mostly my brother and my uncle's ages. So this young 4-5-year-old Brandon would be hanging out with older kids watching, you know, scarier things, which is, I got exposed to like a Child's Play and Chucky and Nightmare on Elm Street and Jason, all those things very, very, very early. I remember hanging out with my aunt. I must have been 4. This is like one of my earliest, scariest memories. I was like 4 years old, and we were watching Children of the Corn. And by itself, that movie's not super scary, but it starts off with kids killing adults. Like the kids take over the town of Gatlin, Missouri, Kansas. They kill all the adults and they worship something in the corn called the man who walks between the rows or something like that. And it's a religion thing. Well, it's not really that scary. At the end of the movie, it's got Linda Hamilton from Terminator. She's like on like kind of a crucifix made of corn stalks. And there's this demon thing that like is underneath the ground and just like, it's kind of like, you know, like in Tremors where it like, the ground pops up and you could tell something's moving.
Like Bugs Bunny on his way to Albuquerque.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. That's not scary now when you put it like that.
These are my references.
I was like that kind of scared me. So I never wanted to go into corn again.
Oh, it's avoid Nebraska, man.
Yeah, no, I know. I know. I'm still corn creeps me out still to this day. But when the movie was over, turned it off and like, I woke up, I thought I saw like skeletons dancing in the room. I don't know, 4, like it's skeleton dancing. Like there's not even any skeletons in the movie, but that's what I saw that scared me.
This is popped into my head as you were talking, a traumatizing event for a young Travis on a Christmas Eve night. Grew up, I liked Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Oh,
Pee-wee's Play, good show. Enjoyed it. My for lack of a better term, my aunt, my uncle's long-term girlfriend at the time, got a Pee Wee Herman doll for Christmas.
Yeah,
that it like talks and stuff.
Pull string.
Yeah. There was like a depiction of it on the side of the box that looked like it was like walking or something. And for whatever reason, in my brain, I was convinced that that doll could walk on its own. And I was freaked out for the rest of the evening that that doll was going to get me. Yeah. Like ruined Christmas. Like, I was like, I didn't want to be in the same room as the thing. I don't know how old I was. I was very young, I'm sure, but like 12 at least. But
it was 30 minutes ago.
It was last Christmas.
I have that Pee Wee Herman doll still at my parents' house. They're like, are you going to take this home with you one of these days? I'm like, no.
It stays here.
It is because it's creepy and it's old too. So
it is kind of creepy though, right? Like,
yeah, it's absolutely creepy. So super creepy.
I can find a picture of it.
And the pull string doesn't work. I mean, it's still pulled, but you know how pull string toys ended up being eventually, like after a little bit of time, they didn't work anymore. So where it used to go like, now it's like,
with the hyper pink cheeks too on this thing.
Yeah.
This is a kind of a creepy doll. Yeah. Pee-wee's Playhouse. Yeah. Ooh, you could get the cherry accessory.
I had cherry.
Oh my gosh. Look at you and your privileged life privilege.
I love Pee-wee Herman, man.
Look at that. That's kind of a creepy doll. Yeah. I feel justified in my childhood terror.
You should. Now. You should. I'm going to mail you randomly my Pee-wee doll.
Let me see. It's probably fetching a pretty penny. Oh, you don't have it in the box, do you?
No, man. No way.
Oh, okay. Then you're looking at only about 40 bucks on eBay.
That's good.
Vintage 1987 Pee-wee Herman talking 17-inch postable pull string doll.
How much is it for pristine condition?
So this mint in box, $398.
Oh, that doesn't feel like much. Weak Pee-wee.
Here it is. Okay, the picture on the... Oh, no, that's not it. That just says I talk. Okay.
Did you find it?
It's... Here's the images, guys. Sorry, this is not going to play as well for the audio listeners. But here's the side of the box, and it looks like he's kind of like walking around.
He's doing his little Pee-wee dance.
Cherry and all the yeah. So these images,
it makes sense.
Haunted my subconscious, and I'm glad we could come back around to this.
He's standing up the other side of the box. He's standing up in a different way, man. Yeah, I don't blame you for being scared of that thing.
Scared the crap out of me
because after I saw,
which if we look, okay, 87, I was maybe four or five years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's justifiable. Five-year-olds don't know crap.
I became afraid of dolls and toys like that around that time. I didn't want to be around him. My buddy didn't want to be around my buddy.
I loved my buddy. Yeah,
Child's Play did not do any favors.
Yeah, I didn't watch Child's Play. I just saw the My Buddy cartoon or commercials.
There's this Twilight Zone episode called The Dummy.
You've seen that one?
Probably, but it's very, very, very creepy, especially as a kid.
Yeah,
And so that was a thing. There's this movie called Dolls in 1987, I think, which that threw me off with porcelain dolls.
And dolls are just creepy. Porcelain dolls especially are just creepy in general.
Yeah.
Sheena's like grandparent on her dad's side or whatever has a house full of them. And guess where we have to stay when we come to visit? That house. My kids are not exposed to like horror movies and stuff.
Yeah.
Like much at all.
And they're scared.
And they were like, this house is kind of creepy. Like, I don't think we want to. Yeah. Anyway,
there's this, the shower house, my father and mother-in-law's house. Mitch drew this picture when he was in high school, I think. And I think it's of like a nun, but it's kind of creepy. And the Dexter he doesn't want to sleep in the room with it. He's like, can you take that off the wall and turn it around? Like, yeah, no. And I'm like, I don't blame you. I'm creeped out by it.
You should just be like, we have to do that. Because if we don't.
She escapes.
She won't be there in the morning.
But
sweet dreams.
Click, 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 click. Turn the lights on and off. Yeah. So that's
something tells me you've pulled that move on your son.
No, you
haven't clicked the lights and been like, ooh.
Oh, well, maybe, but like when he obviously knows I'm joking.
Yes.
The most I've scared somebody long term is my younger brother Brett. When he was a youngin, like 3 or 4. My bedroom wall was right next to his bedroom wall, and his bed was right against the wall in that little divider. And so I just like on the wall went, Brett, oh no, it's a spider. Oh no, Brett, there's a spider. And then he freaked out, and he was really upset about it. I don't think he's afraid of spiders still. But he still holds it.
You've definitely instilled some childhood trauma.
He definitely,
which as an older sibling, is our job.
Isn't that what we're right? That's what we're there for. That's what we're there for.
Exactly. So in terms of Halloween traditions, I'm assuming you were a trick or treater for the most part in the early childhoods.
Yeah.
What was your strat? What was your plan of attack? Were you a pillowcase and go? Were you like get out early, stay out late? Are you strategic about certain houses? Are you just like, you know what? Let's get around this neighborhood and see and hope for the best.
Yeah, you know, as it depended on where we were. As far as I lived in Hacienda Heights for a little bit, and I lived in La Crescenta for the rest of the time. And I think it just depended on the group of people I was with, or the kids I was with, or if my older brother didn't try to ditch me right away for his friends, or I would just go with like my dad or my mom would walk
around.
It's the same street. Look for lights. Boom, bing, bang, boom. Come home and be done.
I lived in like a complex of condominiums.
Oh,
townhomes, if you will, which made your like candy ratio per distance way up there, right?
Oh, yeah.
You could hit 4 houses in. Like they're all connected to each other. Like you could just like door, 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 door onto the next building. So that was really helpful to, you know, maximize that candy intake. But yeah, I don't know I don't think I ever like left that complex growing up until I like moved away. And at that point I was getting to be a little too old to trick or treat, I think. So
yeah,
which is a a touchy subject, but I am curious, like, what is that age? What is it? I mean, yeah. I'm sure it's different for every kid, but
it's a good question.
Like, when do you stop trick or treating?
Well, let me ask you this question with an exploratory question, which is, when a kid comes up to your door, what is the age that you look at them and say, "You're a little too old for this, aren't you?" What is that age?
If they look like they could beat me up, if they look like they could legally drive a car,
they've got a bigger, bushier beard than I do.
Yeah. honestly, and that is an interesting question, because we have become a house over the last almost 12 years that typically is not answering the door unless it's just those early get out while the sun is still high in the sky trick or treaters. And we're still trying to figure out costumes and stuff like that. We're the bowl of candy on the front porch house typically, because we like to go out with our kids. We go out trick or treating with them, around the neighborhood. So we always come back to an empty bowl, and I'm always curious, how long has this bowl been empty? Was it empty two sets of trick or treaters after we left?
Was it empty when the first kid saw?
It's like,
take one,
dumps the bowl into their bag.
One bowl, got it.
Yeah, tricked, got them. Trick and treat, am I right? I don't know. I'm excited to relatively soon, I think, move into a period where my kids are becoming less interested with trick or treating. Obviously, my youngest ones are still all for it, but. Yeah. I kind of dig the idea of being the guy that's like passing out the candy and maybe do my yard up a little bit more, especially now that I know that my neighborhood has a competition every year. You had a competition. I'm in. I have 360
competing. Like, I'm all about it. I'm about to compete.
Let's go. I'm building a tarantula the size of a semi truck, and it's coming out my garage. Animatronics, forget about it. So I have a year to plan my
eight legs. That's right. I'm going all out.
We have some like cheap Nightmare Before Christmas decorations and like an inflatable vampire Mickey. Mm. And I'm like, nope, all that stuff is going out.
No.
Store bought. Haunted Mansion themed decorations happening 2022. Let's go. Grim Grinning nice. Ghosts about to win the Homeowners Association prize.
That's awesome. Yeah, I don't mind doing the just sitting on the driveway and throwing
candy at kids as they walk by.
Yeah. Last year in the midst of the pandemic, we sat in the driveway and like we put the bowl kind of further down. They said, "There you go. Go ahead and take a piece." Right. We're good with that. And the kid was good with that too. Like he enjoyed being in his Five Nights at Freddy's costume and just standing there handing out candy and trying to be creepy. Like he was good with that. And
scaring the trick or treaters.
Yeah. And I think he wanted to trick or treat too. But he also enjoyed that. It's the same thing with like, it's similar to like us telling him about Santa.
What about Santa?
and having him join in with the magic of talking about Santa those who love Santa.
What's this?
I
was gonna say our mid-pandemic Halloween last year was arguably my kids' favorite Halloween. We did just like a small Halloween party for just us. Kids still dressed up in their costumes. They still got a crap ton of candy, But we like had little games. We watched like Hocus Pocus or something. Mm-hmm. And just did a bunch of like Halloween stuff. Sheena made like cool little snacks and stuff like that. And they're like, this is awesome. And we didn't have to walk miles around our neighborhood. So there was a moment where we were like, you want guys just want to do that again? And I'm like, no, we want to trick or treat. And it's like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Plus, trick or treating, underrated way to get to know your neighbors in your neighborhood. Like you can, this is like, hey, oh, yo, you live down here? Yeah, how's it going?
Well, yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was going to ask this follow up question about trick or treating, this habit now. It feels like it's a more modern thing, the tradition now where adults on trick or treat night, they get their shots and they are making drinks and shit for people in the neighborhood. Is that a recent thing?
It feels recent. I have pretty clear memories of maybe an adult beverage making its way around the neighborhood in my youth, amongst the parents. Like maybe they'd load up their, you know, like insulated their beverage container.
Oh, and, or like their rolly cart, yeah, like their rolly ice chest.
Maybe. But you know, they had their own treats that they were taking around there. I don't remember
like
them
parents
being distributed.
Off. Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. I've heard of like people like giving out margaritas to passing parents and things like that, which I mean, it's fun, but yeah, I don't know.
Last year they were like, people made Jello shots. People were making like, they were like in like little Tupperware, like little shots of like pineapple mixed drink. They were all out in my neighborhood, and it's just weird. I mean, how do you feel? Do you think that's cool? Or speaking about getting to know your neighbors,
I
have to hang out with them. I should have sex with you. I don't know.
that is the rule, Brandon.
Dick or treat.
Yeah. I think it's cool. I mean, obviously people need to be, if you're walking your kids around at night in the dark, you know, be responsible. But you know, if you want to partake in some spirits on a spirited night,
unleash,
you know,
that's your spirit. Unleash.
Yeah, you can do that. That's all right. I mean, I'm not about to make a grog bowl for my front yard, but
no, I'm too I'm too stingy to share my alcohol with strangers. Like, and this is when I'd go to a bar or whatever, and I never understood why men would buy drinks, and even worse than that. Like I saw this woman go up to one of my friends, and she's like, hey, you want to buy me a drink? He's like, sure. I'm like, what the fuck? No way, man. No,
it's like $12.
Don't buy her a drink, you dumb shit. No, like, if she wants to hang out with you, if she thinks you're cute, then you hang out with her. Or if she just wants a drink, then tell her fuck off. You know, it just doesn't make sense. That makes sense to me.
The mating rituals of the early 20s.
And this is why
strange and unique practice.
When Chelsea leaves me, I'll never be with another woman, because I'll never buy him a drink. I think that's the key.
That is what has to happen. So you'll just be, that is why you see all those guys that are just alone at the bars in the middle of the day. It's because they never bought anyone a drink. And so they're just there with all of their money that they didn't spend on other people. I don't know. I don't know where that story went. You got a game for me, Brandon?
I do, Travis. Yeah, that's right. This will be real quick, right? We're getting to the end of the episode. So I've got a couple of different real quick games for you, Travis. And the games are, I don't even know if this will be it. Oh, Night of the Hunters on there? That's good. Okay.
I've never heard of that movie.
Yeah, it's a Robert Mitchum. You've seen Cape Fear? Or I've heard of Cape Fear. Yes. Yeah. So
I'm doing Cape Fear. I'm doing Cape Fear. I'm like that movie, Cape Fear.
Yeah.
Which makes me assume that somebody holds on to the underside of a car in Cape Fear.
I'm pretty sure that Night of the Hunter Cape Fear is a remake of Night of the Hunter, which was a 1955 film. And that's your quiz for today.
Nailed it.
Okay, so originally I was going to go like, hey, tell me based off Rotten Tomatoes, give me one film. What do you think the number one film on the 200 best horror films of all time is? It's an old one. It's in the 60s.
Night of the Living Dead.
It's black and white. You're close. Night of the Living Dead is this is a dumb game. No, it's Psycho, actually.
Oh. Yeah. One I've actually seen.
Yeah, Psycho, the Alfred Hitchcock film about communism pervading itself through capitalism. No, so there are a lot of good 200 best horror films on here. But I realize no, you're not going to get any of these. But Night of the Living Dead is on there. It's number 22.
Okay.
Yeah. Alien and Aliens is on there. So let's move away from that. You know Stephen King a little bit. You've heard of
we're good friends. We're pen pals.
pen pals. Okay. There are two top tens that I have in front of me. One is
two top tens.
One of the top tens is the top 10 Stephen King novels based off of a Barnes and Noble list. And the other top 10 is the top 10 Stephen King movies as per Vulture. There are a few of these titles that share the same top 10. I want you to give me, just give me three. If you can give me three movies or books that are on both top 10 lists, you will have won this challenge. And we can end. Okay. Starting now.
I'm gonna go currency. So it.
Calculating. It is on both lists. It is the second book, the second top book, and it is number 8 as far as movies go.
And are they saying the most recent film or the Tim Curry one?
Yeah. It is the most recent film. Yeah. Yep. All right. That's one.
Things get interesting.
That's one. One is the loneliest Stephen King you'll ever know.
Pet Cemetery.
Pet Cemetery is not on either of these lists, actually.
Wow.
It's number 11 on the book list. It is not in the top 10 for movies.
Okay. The Shining? Shining Stephen King?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go with Shining.
Shining. Tell you what, Travis, this is a good one for you. And here's why. Because The Shining is number 1 on both lists. Boom.
That's good.
That's right.
Which means the only other option is Cujo.
No.
You know that's not the one you want to guess. That's,
Yeah. what's the one with the car that drives itself?
That'd be Christine.
Yes, Christine. No. This is just any Stephen King novels.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Dude, I don't I'm coming up on some blanks. So
okay. Maybe a
Green
hint.
Mile.
Green Mile. Green Mile is not. It's just outside the top 10 films. It's just outside the it is a top 10 of the books. Okay. Doesn't quite make it. Alas, alack. Here's a hint. Here's a hint. They're all gonna laugh at you for getting it wrong. They're all gonna laugh at you. They're all gonna laugh at you. Sissy Spacek. Pig's Blood.
Oh,
John Carrie? Travolta. Carrie. I don't know how you did it, but yeah, Carrie.
I had no idea that was a Stephen King property at all.
Yeah. Yeah, that, it was. It's. I don't know if it's his first novel, but it's his first movie. Okay. And successful. Carrie is number 7, and it is number 2 on the movie list. The other ones that they share, Travis. Here we go. The Dead Zone with Christopher Walken. It's number 4.
I've heard of that.
It's number 4 on the book. It's number 3 on the movie list. Going on the movies, Shawshank is number 4, but that's not a book. It's actually part of a collection of stories.
Yeah, I thought about Shawshank, but I was like, yeah, I think that there's some sort of caveat. Like, I don't think it counts as a...
Yeah.
Because that's a personal favorite of mine.
Exactly right. Misery is on both lists. It shares number 5 on both lists. Creepshow on the movies. That's not a book. Stand by Me is also another one of those. Oh. It's another one of those. Not a book. Part of a collection. It's part of the collection with Apt Pupil. As a matter of fact, you already said it. 1408 is another movie. And then number 10 is The Running Man, which is based off of Richard
Bachman.
Yeah. Yeah,
from the Bachman books, which is the only Stephen King material. Not true, because I did read Green Mile stuff as well. But I was like, that's like the only Stephen King stuff I've actually read. but I absolutely devoured The Running Man in its written form. And I think it is far superior to the Arnold Schwarzenegger classic.
Can you? So I've never read The Running Man.
Oh.
Yeah, it's far
go,
different.
Go get
right?
it. Go. It's very different. Yes. I mean, obviously, still dystopian society where, you have to, like, this guy's basically down on his luck to the point where his family's like starving or whatever. He needs money, so he goes to sign up for this game show. Game shows are the entertainment of the age, but unlike the movie where they go into this big, crazy arena that they have to survive through, he is given camera equipment and he is sent out into the world and he is being hunted by these hunters out in the real world.
Oh.
But he still has to he still has to record himself to give these updates about him. And so throughout the story, he's like finding ways to disguise where he is and like hide the surroundings and stuff because he knows he's required to turn in these videos, but he knows these hunters will probably be able to figure out where he is if he gives any clues and stuff. So it's this whole story of him actually running from these people that are hunting him.
Yeah.
And not so it is very much like foreshadowing to the reality that we live in now where, you know, TV reality game shows are uber popular and
Squid Game.
Sometimes Squid Garm. Yeah.
Which I feel like you should watch. I still feel like you should watch it. I feel like you should give it a chance. Just, I don't know. I think there's a lot of hype around it. I thought it was pretty good.
You know, it's not that I don't want to watch it. It's just that I've got too much Community to catch up on.
That is fair. That is fair. I also just finished Only Murders in the Building.
I heard season one.
Steve Martin, Martin Short,
Ariana Grande. Oh,
yeah. other pop sensation. I do feel like you should give that a shot. Have you even watched an episode or anything?
No, I haven't.
So it, the show revolves around podcasting. Like, it's they start a true crime podcast. These three unlikely friends bond over a true crime podcast that they all listen to, and then there turns out that there's a murder in their building, and so they decide to start a true crime podcast about the murder that's happening. And it's a great cast. Steve Martin wrote the concept with somebody else. But yeah, it's solid. It's good.
It's based on an actual podcast, isn't it?
I don't know if that's, I think it's original, story. Yeah.
An original podcast story.
Maybe. It is funny though, like Tina Fey makes a few appearances as like in like NPR style podcaster. She has like the serial of the podcasts, and so she's like this famous podcaster and things like that. But yeah, it's good. It's good. I think it's like 10 to 12 episodes on Hulu, and they're only like half hour long. You could chew right through it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Maybe if it's on the flight from here to Florida, I'll give it a shot.
And it's got kind of a cool like mystery to it as well, where you're trying to figure out who done it along with the people too. So.
Okay. Yeah. It sounds good. I'm excited about it. I'll probably wait till after Halloween. Because if I have free time, I'm watching Community or What We Do in the Shadows. Which,
give us a Community check. Where are we at in the series?
Where the hell was the last episode? I'm in season two. I think episode two. Jeff found the guy who ratted him out. Got him his job. Got him made partner, and now he's going to leverage him for stuff later on down the road. Chang is crazy. Senior Chang is crazy. The girls tried to, Annie and Britta tried to raise money for the oil spills. And then they did some wrestling. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Yeah. I liked the end of season one. I think at the end of season one, that's when I was like it went in a, it changed a little bit for me. It wasn't like, I enjoyed it more. I'm with it. I'm with it. I want to keep going with
it. He's in. He's bought in, ladies and gentlemen. He's going to go. All right. Well, I need to find other stuff to watch. So now that I've gotten through the recent season of, oh no, I still have the finale of Holy Moly.
Holy Moly.
To watch. Gotten through the most recent Holy Moly 3D in 2D.
Is it the latest season?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Last season was the Tomb of Nefertiti. That was the finale.
Oh, well, I don't know. That's the one I'm on. Nine golfers coming together to figure out who will go home with $250,000. Very exciting.
The finale for Frogger is almost upon us too.
and new episodes of Legends of the Hidden Temple are available on the CW app.
How is that? That should be the last thing we talk about.
I haven't gotten through a whole episode yet, so I can't really say.
It's on the CW app. Which means,
yeah, I think it's on Hulu too, maybe.
Okay, I should watch an episode we didn't get accepted to it. No, so we didn't. There's part we of it. I'm like, nope, you don't want me. I don't want you.
Fair enough. It's very true to form. It's filmed outside. Yeah, the mechanics of the game are very much like the Nickelodeon original, even down to the fact that they're like doing cutaway scenes of old stories of, you know, Mayan legends that they have to then remember the details of to progress down the steps to the temple.
The only critique I've seen, not saying there's not more critiques for the show, but the only critique that I've seen is that it does the typical game show thing where they cut to people doing their like voiceover,
they do that a lot.
Their testimonial thing.
Yeah.
Which
that's like that reality show trope is very much there.
That's annoying.
Yeah. Sure.
Like Frogger doesn't do that. Holy Moly doesn't do that. And I think those shows are better for it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Podcast run along. Thanks for coming here. We're gonna talk Holy Moly here for a minute.
All right.
I want to talk because you're the expert. I'm only one season in, but it's the most recent season.
Is this? Are we done? Do we end the episode?
No, we'll just keep recording. Okay. And you get bonus content if you're listening. If you are one of the people that download this episode, God bless you. You deserve this bonus content. Holy Moly. All right. Obviously shot at night.
Uh-huh.
Because it's outside, but it's totally dark.
Yeah.
Okay. They shoot 10 episodes. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Each episode, approximately 44 minutes long or so, right? Typically for an hour-long primetime television show, accounting for advertisements. How long do you think they are actually making that show? Like, what do you, like, production schedule-wise, how long do you think Rob Riggle and, what's his name?
Oh, damn it. I forgot his name all of a sudden. The sportscaster guy, Robert Gold, Paul
Joe Tessitore.
Jesus. How long are they actually out there? I say, let's see, how many golfers are there?
So in an episode, there are eight.
If there's like 10 episodes, 10 or 12 episodes, I would say
there are 10 total with the finale.
So I would say actual recording, probably 2 weeks.
I would argue
away.
They shoot all of the golf in one night.
Yeah.
Maybe that's extreme. But if you look, it's in the details, Brandon. Okay. So you look at what holes they're golfing, right? Look at the order of the holes they're golfing. You look at the cleanliness of the contestants' clothes between rounds. And I think, like, okay, what is 8 times 9? That's 72, right? So that's 72 golfers total on the show. Maybe they do it in a couple nights, but like,
I'm so happy that you talked yourself out of thinking it's one night.
I think they could do it. I think they could if they're like, all right, you're coming on the show. We're pulling an all-nighter. Get your sleep schedule ready. But they could, across different episodes, they could film all of the people that are competing on that specific hole in probably like half an hour to an hour. Like, and then they get all of those holes done. They go to the next one. You can still maintain your ranking, your tiered system, because you would shoot all of the round one holes for the entire season up front so that you would know all of your round two contestants from there, because then episode to episode, you'll have the jousting hole, right? That's always a round two hole. And you could, does it make sense for them to bring the jousting night guy? Like, yeah, does it make sense for them to bring all those gopher costumes out night after night, week after week? No. They're filming every version of that hole sequentially back to back in like 45 minutes. How long does it really take to do one of those holes, right? It's not very long. So I argue that they might film it all in like one night, maybe two for cleanup shots.
Now one night, I don't think so. I would very, very staunchly say no, not one night. Two nights, I could see that if they're
shooting. They definitely filmed the entire production in less than a week.
If it's from 7 to 11 or midnight, right? Sure. Sure. Because union wages, they're not gonna be, yeah, you can't work too late, right? There's safety things that we know about in film.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So got that. I would say at least a couple of days, at most, like a week and a half.
A week. Yeah, maybe they film all of round ones, all the round ones on like a Monday.
Yeah.
All your round twos on a Tuesday. Round threes are going to determine your finale folks on Wednesday, Thursday. Maybe you can get all of your round threes and your finale shot on Wednesday. You gotta film Steph Curry. You know, obviously it's the bulk of that show. That's, it's probably my one critique about it, because the broadcasters crack me up. They are hilarious, but the amount of time they spend introducing the contestants is the majority of that show, because the actual golf does not take as much time. They're all like three putting. I don't know. I think it is. It's a good show.
It's not just about the putting though. Like, yeah, it's a putting, but then it's also them falling in water.
Yeah, and which is great.
Going in the obstacles, getting knocked into sludge from the porta potties on hole number two. Like there is some of that too. Like the introduction of the contestants, that takes all of 45 seconds. And the show,
I argue it doesn't.
Per person, 45 seconds.
All right.
On that note,
happy Halloween, everybody.
next episode that you watch, the finale of Holy Moly, time it. Time it, and then
they're not going to do full intros.
Then I'll go to episode
three. I'm going
to
go back. I'm going to watch seasons two or three or whatever. I'm going to go back. I'm not put off on the show. I think it's great.
It feels like you are. It feels like you think that the episodes, which are 42 minutes each, are a majority of introducing the players.
There's a fair amount of player introductions happening. There's eight of them. Uh-huh. There's eight,
and they don't reintroduce the players every time they go up. They introduce them one time, and then
they do that like side by side screen where they're like, "What does fails mean in those stats? Do you know what fails are?
Probably when they like fall in and they get a."
But some people have like fails in the like double digits.
Maybe they tried.
Listen up, Unity. I know that's wrong podcast. We want to know what fails are in miniature golf, so send us an email, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. Let us know.
Let's just tweet Rob Riggle.
Fails are, tweet at us, Rob Riggle @holymoly.twitter.com.
All right, guys, that's our show. It's getting late. We love you. Thank you for being awesome. Have a safe and happy Halloween.
You're wrong.
Go get lots of candy and margarita shooters and
Jello.
Be amazing. Go be spooky.
Get some beads.
And check out Dune on HBO Max for our Dune-tastic, Dune-tacular.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks.
Either Dune, both Dunes. Let's hear what you think. Dunes, yeah, both Dunes on HBO Max.
Get your spice and bring it back in 2 weeks for a spicy episode of Apathetic Enthusiasm.
The sleeper will awaken.
Sandworms. I don't know. All right, that's it. Until the next time, I'm Travis.
And I'm Brandon. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.